Which is the parasha with the most amount of commandments in it? Well, we're about to delve into Parashat Ki Teitzé, which has 74 mitzvot. If you think about it, there are 613 mitzvot in the entire Torah. 74 is roughly 12% of the entire Torah's mitzvot are in this week's parasha. It seems as we're coming closer and closer to Rosh Hashanah, we want to get all the mitzvot in so that we can learn God's Torah and have those zechuyot as we prepare. What does Parashat Ki Teitzé start off by talking about? Well, in the olden days, in the times of war, it wasn't a simple fact. The enemies used to bring out their ladies and they used to dress them nicely, and the ladies used to dress nicely for two reasons. If their husbands would come back as warriors and victorious, then obviously they'd be happy to be with their husbands, and if not, then the pressing the enemy would come and attack them, would want to either destroy them, but if they were dressed nicely, then they'd want to get married to them. And hence, they would look very, very nice as much as they could. And this posed a problem for the Jewish army. You see, the Jewish army was very ethical and wanted to, obviously, maintain Torah standards. But Hashem, God Almighty, understands that at the time of war, a soldier is under immense pressure and he might give in to his Yetzirah. Rather than forbidding, therefore, the Torah makes an exception and allows a non-Jewish lady to be a captive of war and to eventually marry into Judaism. But there are conditions. How does this happen? Well, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but also a woman has the ability of really dressing herself up. And therefore, the Torah hope is that once the Gentile woman is permitted, the soldier's passion will abate, since his Yetzirah, his evil inclination, loses strength as soon as the attraction is no longer forbidden. And furthermore, the Torah attached many conditions to such a marriage by delaying it. So what are the delaying tactics that are mentioned in the Torah? Firstly, she has to shave her hair, which may have been beautiful. She is required to let her nails grow so long that they look ugly. She exchanges her elegant garments for mourning clothes. And perhaps after seeing her for a month's time, thus deprived of external beauty, in contrast to Jewish women who are well-groomed and happy, the Jewish man will no longer want to marry her. So the idea is the Torah is giving the Jewish man the ability, an in, but in a kosher way, so to speak. And hopefully by the time he has made up a decision and he will realize that it was only the time of war, the time of his Yetzirah. And that kind of brings home nowadays, a person wants to do an aver, wants to do a sin, could be in the heat of the moment. What do they have to do? Take yourself out of that heat of the moment and then think logically. Don't think with your emotions in your heart and get subdued into doing a sin and then regretting it for the rest of your life. Rather, take a time out. Think carefully, is this the correct way? Will I really, really benefit from my actions? The Torah continues and tells us that a father may not deprive his firstborn son of a double portion. Every firstborn son gets the double portion, even if the firstborn son is from the less favored of, if he has more than one wife, of one of his wives. The father may not disinherit him. Now, it's interesting because in the times of Alexander the Great, our rabbis tell us that there was the Yishma'elim, the sons of Ismail, appeared before the emperor's court of law with a claim against the Jews. They were accompanied by two evil families, the Canaanim and the Egyptians. They had all ganged up to make claims against the Jewish nation. And who was going to volunteer to represent the Jewish people? Well, it was a Jew by the name of Gevia, the son of Kosim. So they came in front of Alexander the Great, and the Yishma'elim declared, "We contest the Jews' exclusive rights to the inheritance of the land of Israel." And then they said, "Why?" He said, "Because their own writings state that a father must give his firstborn a double portion, even if he be the son of a hated wife, and we're descendants of Yishmael, who was Abraham's firstborn. We therefore deserve," they said, "a double portion in the land of Israel." So now everyone was facing Gevia, and Alexander allowed Gevia to speak, and he said, "Majesty, may the father award gifts to his sons according to his liking while he is alive. Is a father allowed to give to his sons as much as he wants when he is alive?" And Alexander's confirmed, of course, this is only the law once he passed. Then see, says explained Gvir, that our Torah relates that Avraham gave the land to Yitzchak during his lifetime, as it says in Bereshit 25:2. And therefore, there is no such a thing, there's no such a judgment of a firstborn receiving two in while the father is still alive. And therefore, there's no claim. Alexander retorted, and he said, perhaps Avram gave it to Yitzchak only temporarily. No, replied Gvir. This was a definitive arrangement. It states that Avraham gave all his other sons presents and sent them away. And thus ended the claim of the Ishmaelites. So you see, sometimes people can come with claims, but if you actually understand and know the Torah fully, if you tell us our own Torah tells us this, but if you really know, if you're a Talmid Chacham and an unwise person to understand what the Torah really says, and everything is fitting in 100% because it is the word of God Almighty. The Torah continues and tells us about a rebellious son. Now this is an interesting, beautiful commandment. If two witnesses warned a boy of 13 years old not to steal money in order to purchase meat and wine, and afterwards observed that he stole money from his parents, he bought the meat and he bought the wine and he consumed them in a disgusting, gluttonous manner in the presence of other hooligans, the parents can bring their son to the judgment and the boy is then whipped. If he repeats these sins, the parents again bring him before the Bedin, and the boy is now subject to capital punishment. Since, why? The Torah is predicting that if he's going to act like this when he's young, well, it's only going to get much worse, and we'd rather get rid of the badness already. Now, this is very difficult to understand, but as we saw, it's very difficult to actually happen. It has to be the witnesses, he has to have done it a second time, he has to have done it stolen from his parents, he has to be eating and drinking in front of people, he has to be between 13 and 13 years and 3 months of age. There are many limits to this, but the main point is that a person, we have to really focus on our youth and our actions when we are young, and to really nip it in the bud, and to educate our children to go in the right way from when they are young. The Torah continues with a commandment to bury a dead person on the day of his execution. When a person passes away, it's very important to bury them straight away. There are other mitzvot. Let's go through a few beautiful mitzvot in this week's parsha. Hashavat Aveda, the mitzvah to return lost property to an owner. If you find something that's owned by a Jewish person and you return it to them, you have done this mitzvah. Of course, if it's a non-Jewish person's article, we still return it. It's called a Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying God's name when we return. And there are plenty of stories of Jews that have been in situations where they have returned to Jews and non-Jews alike and made this beautiful Kiddush Hashem and this beautiful mitzvah. To help a Jew and unload a burden. A person is going along the way, he's got his donkey in the olden days and is carrying or a burden, or a Jewish person's carrying a burden. We have to be there to help our fellow person. Nowadays there are incredible organizations. It's a story of a guy who was in America and his car broke down and he's outside wearing a kippah and he's putting on his hand and nobody's really stopping. Eventually a Jewish guy stops and helps him. He does his tire. Half an hour, it's pouring with rain, etc. And the guy looks up to him and he says, wow, thank you so much. So the guy says, well, you know what? I'm not actually Jewish, but my mom always told me that if ever I get into trouble, just put this kippah on and put your hand out and somebody will come and help you. And of course, even if he wouldn't have been with a kippah or not kippah, the Jew would have definitely stopped, because Baruch Hashem, that's who we are. But it's incredible. We have to help people take off their burdens if we have the ability and we've been blessed. So we go and we help other people. A man may not wear clothes that are designed for a woman and vice versa. It's a clear halachic commandment in this week's parasha. The Torah continues talking about Sheluach Haken. This is one of the mitzvot that we are guaranteed a long life for. Sending away the mother bird before taking the fledglings. The Zohar explains this mitzvah has a profound impact. Driven from its nest, the mother bird flies restlessly over the hills and valleys. It cries bitterly and despairingly over the separation from its children. You've just taken away its children, but you fleed the mother beforehand. The angel appointed over this species of bird appears before the heavenly throne and reproaches Hashem. Why have you, who are compassionate in all your ways, ordered this in your Torah? The angel appointed over the other species of birds takes up the call, in turn complaining why the mother bird of their species should suffer the same bitter fate. Then God Almighty turns to all the heavenly hosts and reprimands them. You witness how the angels in charge of birds speak up for their charges? Why then do none of you voice concern about my sons and the Shekhinah, both who are in exile? The Shekhinah is separated from its nest, the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, and my sons, the fledglings, dwell among Gentiles. Is there none among you to arouse my compassion and defend them? The Almighty then cries out, for my own sake will I do it, for why should my name be profaned? This is a pasuk from Yeshayahu 48:11. And so what do we see? This plaintive cry evokes heavenly mercy from the plight of the Jewish people. It's a beautiful mitzvah, and some people go out of their way in different forests, etc., to kind of go and do this special mitzvah. Another important mitzvah is to have a fence and a roof, a porch or a pit, and to remove dangerous objects from one's premises. How many times, lo aleinu, do we hear about people that didn't have fences or had balconies without fences, and kids unfortunately get hurt from that? And there's a special mitzvah when we are doing these fences. We're actually doing a commandment, positive commandment from the Torah, and we will get reward for it, not just in this world, but in the next. We may not sow species other than grapes in a vineyard. Different kind of animals may not be harnessed together to a yoke. We are then told about forbidden marriages. A man who cannot beget children because of his reproductive organs that were injured or removed by human intervention is not allowed to get married. A child born from a forbidden marriage by the Torah as incestuous and punishable with karet or execution by the Jewish court of law is called a mamzer, and also can't marry into the Jewish people. It comes from the word mam and zar. Torah relates that the Edomites may marry Jews after two generations, the Egyptians may marry Jews after two generations. Nowadays, certain communities don't marry any gerim, but others marry gerim from all nationalities, because we know that there's Bar Sancheriv, the great king Sancheriv, actually came and mixed the entire world, so we don't know who's from where. The Jewish army is commanded to be holy. We are to separate ourselves, and we are told also not to return a servant to his master if the servant has sought refuge in Eretz Yisrael. An owner is obligated to let workers help themselves to produce while they are working. They're working very hard. They want to eat a little bit of the grapes that they're picking. They're able to eat that, not to store it, but to eat it as it is. A Jewish wife is not considered divorced unless the husband has given her a get. That's in this week's parasha. We have a mitzvah from the Torah to remember how God punished Miriam, the sister of Moshe, when she spoke Lashon Hara. We have to guard our tongue from evil by guarding our tongue, so we spare the world from evil, because Lashon Hara is a disease that we need to get rid of. It is forbidden to take security from a widow. The harvest gifts of the poor are mentioned over here. There's Peah, which is the corner of the field. There's Leket, which is abandoning one or two individual stalks, leaving them if they have fallen. And there's Shechecha, which means if while harvesting a farmer forgot one or two small sheaves, they must leave it behind. God Almighty says, whoever gave me anything before I gave it to him? Has any father ever performed a Brit Milah before I blessed him with a son? Has anyone ever affixed a mezuzah to his living quarters before I provided him with the living quarters? Has anyone ever brought a lulav before I gave him money? In other words, we're blessed to have the money. God Almighty has given us that money. Let's spend it on his mitzvot. Don't complain when we are doing the mitzvot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rather, thank God for the ability that he has given us. The Torah tells us about the punishment of makot, which is lashes, the 39 lashes that were given for certain averot. The mitzvah of yibum, where if a married brother passes away childless, he is commanded to marry his widowed sister-in-law. This marriage is termed yibum. It's a kindness to the deceased brother because it continues his name. There is a prohibition against false weights and measures in the shops, in the shuk. When you're going and buying things, it needs to be exact. And there's a mitzvah to remember the evil which Amalek attacked the Jewish people, and we have a mitzvah to wipe them out. And to never ever forget the terrible things that Amalek did to us. What an incredible parasha, so many mitzvot, many things to internalize, a lot to do with the land of Israel, a lot to do bein adam lachaver, between man and man, interpersonal relationships. And Be'ezad Hashem, if we take this in mind, we actually act upon it, then God Almighty is giving us the blessing.